This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
So I don't know if you guys have heard this, but there are some people who are tax counsel. They're telling their clients that if you make a payment in connection with a ransomware attack,
yeah,
to basically get your systems released, get your files decrypted, that it might be deductible.
No.
Yeah, apparently the IRS, so they say, is considering it. What do you guys think about that?
I know. I think it's terrible. I can't even think. The only thing I can think of that is maybe on that level of dumb is like, I don't know, making like a chicken nugget smoothie. it's stupid. Travis?
Ew.
Yeah.
Well, ransomware has become so widespread at this point that it's almost going legitimate. There are companies that work for that do cybersecurity and ransomware remediation that they will actually pay the ransom on your behalf. So they're sort of functioning as the bagman for you. And they do the negotiation with the bad actors.
Yeah, but Travis, I'm not going. They're not making ransomware legitimate. They're legitimizing ransomware, maybe, and they're finding there's a business sector rising up around the prevalent, the ubiquity of these ransomware attacks. But Adam, I can't think of any. I mean, that's like feeding the raccoons around your house. It's just dumb.
Well, the other thing, too, is that insurance companies, have reimbursed companies also when they've made ransomware payments, depending upon what policy people have. Although there are a number of insurance companies that are starting to pull away from that.
Well, cheers testimony to the fact that ransomware is everywhere.
No, ransomware, as you said, it is ubiquitous. It is terrifying. It could be an extinction-level event for certain organizations. And there are enormous amount of dollars spent by companies to recover from ransomware. But I also believe that they're actually, the government should consider giving tax credits to organizations that do what they need to do to protect themselves against breaches and ransomware attacks.
I mean, 100%. I think that's an awesome idea.
I think that that's where, part of government focus should be, because we're all in this together.
Yeah, but I also think, Adam, your idea is so good, because there's the one side you're saying, well, we should get a tax credit for having gotten hit. And the other side you're saying, we should get a tax credit for making ourselves harder to hit. It's a very big difference.
And I think the concept of getting a tax credit for making yourself harder to hit is important, because the ramifications of being hit can be devastating.
100%.
I'm Adam Levin, former director of the New Jersey Division of Consumer Affairs, founder of Cyber Scout, and author of Swiped: How to Protect Yourself in a World Full of Scammers, Phishers, and Identity Thieves.
And I'm Beau Friedlander, cyber strange warrior of bad actors.
And I'm Travis Taylor, resident tech guy, and can't really follow up on Beau after that one. So,
So today we have Dan Beeler on our show, and he's the CIO of Boyne Resorts. And he has a really intriguing story for us. And it's a situation that has really been the bane of the existence of so many businesses and government agencies and individuals throughout the world. And so rather than give anything away, let's get to know Dan a little bit better. First of all, Dan, where do you live?
You know, I actually just recently moved down to Panama City Beach, Florida. Our company is headquartered out of Boyne Falls, Michigan. So up until about 3 months ago, I lived up in Michigan. A little better weather.
Yeah, I have warm and squishy feelings about Michigan. I went to University of Michigan Law School. And so I did spend a lot of time in Ann Arbor, spent a lot of time in Michigan. It's a beautiful, beautiful place.
It is.
So now tell us about your company.
So Boyne Resorts is an experience company where we have a lot of ski resorts and championship golf resorts in our portfolio. We have resorts in Maine, New Hampshire, Michigan, Utah, Montana, Washington, and then British Columbia. And then we also have an attraction down in Gatlinburg called the Gatlinburg Skylift and the Sky Bridge. But the company's been around for a very long time. It's a really awesome place to work. And we just specialize in making great memories for our customers.
Adam and I had a little debate before this this call. And if you make me right, I'm going to make $5. Do you offer zip lining anywhere in the summertime?
Of course we do. Yeah, that's a big thing that we do. Yeah.
I'm a rich man.
We have lots of activities around everything from zip lining to Segway tours to trout fishing to just about anything you can imagine. Our resort's involved in it. Just, we love the outdoors. We like our people to be out in the outdoors.
That's fun. The only time I was ever on a Segway, I did a Mr. Bean move and I ended up sort of eating it, but they're fun.
I have a 9-year-old, so we're always looking for experiences. So we're going to have to definitely check you guys out.
Yeah. They see the people at our resorts and they go through a little training session on the Segways. And then we have the sort of mountainized ones, so the big tires. And then you just see them zooming around the resorts. It's pretty fun to watch.
So Dan, you do work with experiences, but I understand as the CIO of your company that you had a less pleasant experience, not so fun. But first, can you tell our listeners what a CIO does?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say that for our company, I liaise a lot with our business. I'm responsible for all of the technology in our organization.
So you're the cybersecurity guy.
I am. We're a fairly small company, comparatively. So we don't have a specific CISO. So in my job, I'm responsible for that. I also work with the business in a lot of capacities. My job is to sort of take technology and make the business, help the business leverage technology so we can be more competitive. We can get some economy of scale. I'm also responsible for security, or at least the people on my team are.
And you had a security event.
We did. We had a very big security event. So October of 2020, we got hit with some malware. One of the guys from our resort, one of our resorts in Michigan, called me. It was about 3:30. My family and I were out hiking the Grand Canyon and called me and said, hey, we were having something going on. He was notified by our night auditor that when she was logged in trying to do work, icons on her computer were starting to change.
Whoa.
And she was starting seeing things pop up and all the files were started changing to an easy to lock dot extension. So we got everybody involved. I called all my vice presidents and all the technical people. We jumped on a quick call. We quickly identified this as malware, as you can imagine. We have an incident response plan. We started working the incident response plan. We soon realized that the gravity of this event was much greater than our incident response plan. So we had to slow things. So we had to, sort of stop where we're at, had to reevaluate what we're doing. And it basically included this executive team and made some decisions immediately. We started shutting down all the stuff that we could at each of our resorts. Our resorts just are sort of decentralized. So we have everything based out of Michigan, but each resort has its own technical stack. So we basically shut down everything at all the resorts and then started working on a plan to start recovery. But we were hit by Evil Corp.
Evil Corp. So did they ask for
$1 million?
Just want sharks with lasers on their heads. they actually did ask for $1 million. They wanted a 90 Bitcoin. So at that time, Bitcoin was roughly, would have equated to a little shy of $1 million.
Wow, that's Dr. Evil money.
It is.
Dan, to back it up, once you started doing your analysis, I'm sure you also brought in probably a third party forensic team to take a look at this. Did they figure out how it started? Was there what was the root of this whole problem?
Yeah, it's really, really crazy that it happened like this. So we did engage with CRA, which is Charles River Associates. They work in this forensic space and sort of help you come in and figure out what happened. We started working through everything there and we were able to go back and we realized that they had been in our system since September 29th. The event happened on October 18th. So they had sort of sat in our system idly for around 3 weeks. Not idly, I should say, without manifesting themselves. what happened is our resorts are decentralized. We had a user at a resort who had unnecessary privileges. She had local admin on her machine. And ultimately, it comes down to one of our administrators out there being lazy and not trying to figure out what she needed to actually do her job, but took the easy way out and gave her local admin. She was out doing research on COVID law. She was at covidlaw.com, I think. And she clicked a upgrade for Chrome. So she wanted to upgrade the version of Chrome. She clicked on that. Since she had local admin to the machine, it installed a hidden payload, included Mimikatz. And once that was installed, they had access to that machine and they started harvesting credentials. And then they just jumped around our organization. So we had taken some safeguards to sort of, we had air gapped our backups, but they used some pretty interesting techniques to get that data. I can go into detail if you want, but they were just willing to wait. So, and they waited for roughly 3 weeks until they got access to our backup servers, because this would have not, if they would have encrypted everything, it would have done them no good.
And what do you think they were waiting for?
So I think what they were waiting for is another, so that user ended up having to have an admin, a sister and some stuff. So when that admin logged back in, they had Mimikatz installed. They were able to grab the credentials from that. And then they were able to navigate over to our air-gapped backup solution, and they weren't able to do anything with the solution that we had in place. What they ended up doing was actually formatting the disk array. So they ran a format on the disk array so we could not get any of that data back, because there's ways to get that data back with your backup solutions. However, in this case, they formatted it. We actually sent the arrays out and we could not recover any of the data. So they didn't do a basic format. They did sort of like an industrial grade format of those disks.
This spring, get out there, enjoy the weather, and recapture the magic of riding a bike with electric e-bike.
With an amazing variety of models built for riders of all abilities, it's never been easier to fall in love with riding again. Plus, every electric e-bike ships free and only requires quick, toolless assembly.
This is my first ever e-bike, and the experience has just been great. I was a little bit intimidated at first because I hadn't gone biking in a while, but the 500-watt motor that the electric e-bike comes with really gives you a nice little boost, especially if you're trying to go uphill or pick up some speed.
Data shows that e-bike riders take their bike out more often. That means you get more exercise, more exploration, and wait for it, fresh air.
And riding an e-bike isn't like, it's not cheating. It's just making it possible for you to be out there longer on each ride. And speaking of things going a little slower, you can finance an electric e-bike for as little as $49 a month.
Get into spring with electric e-bikes, the number one selling e-bikes in the nation. Get your adventure started at electricebikes.com. And please mention that What the Heck with Adam Levin sent you in the post-checkout survey.
That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. I just got back from France, and there was a lot of stuff I couldn't stream because I was in the wrong region. But using NordVPN, I was able to stream everything.
I use NordVPN too, but it's more to protect my private data, like bank details, passwords, and online identity. There are a million trackers online that are just sort of watching you. And NordVPN is a great way to get around those.
NordVPN can switch your virtual location, allowing you to save money by purchasing flights, hotels, subscriptions from other countries at a cheaper price.
If you're traveling and you're using public Wi-Fi, NordVPN can protect you wherever you are.
It's not just that. NordVPN also comes with threat protection, which helps protect you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites.
NordVPN is the fastest VPN in the world, and it'll only set you back the price of a cup of coffee a month.
To get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/WTHack.
And hey, there's no risk. It's a 30-day money-back guarantee.
Check the link in the podcast description.
Hey there, campers. Look, if you have a story about being a victim of a hack, we'd love to hear about it. Give us a call at 623-252-1828. That's 623-252-1828. Or email stories@whatthehackpod.com.
Does Travis have any questions?
Just going back to Mimikatz. If I recall correctly, that's a type of malware that gathers credentials. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I don't know if you would call it malware. It's a piece of software somebody wrote 20 years ago to sort of show vulnerabilities with Microsoft. And it's been used like in hacking toolkits for the last you know, whatever. I actually, you know, of course, when it would happen to us, it's not something I usually go play with, but when it happened to us, I went out and did a little bit of research, and there's a whole market out there for it. And they have different versions for depending on which versions of Windows you're running. And these guys were pretty astute, and they were able to get it installed. Once they had it installed, you know, they started crawling our network, created a bunch of fake accounts, and they did the stuff that all these guys do. So
yeah, so it's a pen testing tool, but it's one that if you want to use it for criminal ends, I guess it'll be pretty effective.
You know, and it was complicated too, because, or exacerbated, I should say, because we didn't have some of the general tools that you might have in some of these other places. You know, I came from a background working for some very large companies. When we had some of these, like we had an EDR and some tools on the outside, we didn't have those here. Again, one of those things I think is unique about how these guys operate is they take the lowest hanging fruit there is. In this case, they were able to go to a company where we didn't have an active EDR or MDR. And you know, that really slows our response, and it makes it easier to get, once you get in this into the system, it's very easy for them to jump around and to exploit us. And I think, you know, if we would have had some of those solutions in place, which we do now, it would have been a little bit more challenging for them.
And you said that this was a Wasted Locker, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. One thing that I've heard before about Wasted Locker, that I wouldn't say that you got lucky, but Wasted Locker is known for being just a single extortion ransomware. So did you ever have any kind of follow-up, you know, threatening to sell your data or anything, or is that,
you know, that escalated a little bit as the time, as it went on, but we never, you know, our research was the same, in that these guys were basically just an encryption. They come in and do what they do, and they don't take any data exfiltration. We did have a seam, and we didn't see any data exfiltration. And, you know, the company that we were working with was listening on the dark net, and they didn't see anything of our data exfiltration either. In that regard, it was good. The bad thing about these guys is, you know, I think we did consider paying the ransom. We have cyber insurance is one of those things we talked about, but these guys run the OFAC, the Office of Foreign Exchange, or Foreign Assets and Control. Basically, these guys are sort of state sponsored. And if you do business with them, we would have gotten sanctioned by the government. So it was no longer an option. It's a crazy story too, because we originally thought this was a BitPamer malware attack, and we thought, okay, cool, we can, you know, not that we would want to, but we can recover quickly. We'd actually changed, we engaged with them, we given them a couple, we asked for proof that they had the decryptor. We'd done it on a couple pieces of a couple files and proved that it worked. We were within 2 hours of doing the transfer, and one of my guys actually looked at it and said, I'm pretty sure this is not BitPamer, this is a different variant. We did some more research, and we engaged with the folks at CRA, and they're like, yeah, you know what? You're right. It looks like you're right. And it'd be Wasted Locker and Evil Corp.
And BitPamer was also from Evil Corp.
Right? It was. Yep. Yeah, I believe it was. Yeah. But I think what happened is these guys matured. I read an article recently that said these guys are actually using tools to sort of cover up that it's them now, and they're actually pretending to be other players in the space because they're on the OFAC, and it's not legal for American companies to pay them.
Yeah, it's always good to pin it on the other guy.
Yeah, exactly. So, especially in this
but
case.
Now, so how did it ultimately resolve itself for you? How'd you get the data back? Or
so that's a good question. We didn't really get the data back. We had been in the process of moving a bunch of our stuff to the cloud. We're in the Azure cloud space, and we'd been working on that. We ended up going back to a copy of data that we had in the cloud. And then my amazing team and the amazing folks I work with basically spent the next 5 weeks rebuilding all of that information to get us back and running. The thing that happened is this event happened in mid-October. We really start hitting our stride as a company for skiing, and we start opening back up for in late November around Thanksgiving. We get super busy in December, January, February, as you can imagine.
Right.
This event happened probably at the most opportune time for us. You know, there's never a great time to have your business taken away, but this was sort of one of the better times that could have happened. So we had a 5-week runway to rebuild our ski solutions, to rebuild our payroll solution, to rebuild everything, and we did. You know, like I said, my team did a great job. And we did have some stuff in the cloud that we could recover. We used some of the tools out there from some of our other partners to sort of roll back and get the encryption out of the environment. And we rebuilt everything from the ground up, all new AD environments. We didn't want to risk having any of that stuff in place. So we took a lot of steps to make sure that we were not going to turn everything back on to have still have the bad guys in our network.
Have we heard from that? Have we heard from them again?
We have not. The sort of way this sort of works is, at least in our case, we engage with a legal company. They helped us. They put us in touch with the folks of the forensics team. And the forensics team at CRA handled most of the work when it came to interacting with the bad guys. We didn't really do that. I mean, we have a conversation. They eventually lowered the request down to 38 Bitcoin. They started at 90. So roughly, 40% of what they were asking before.
Right.
Just because they wanted to get paid. Again, these guys are all about the volume. Travis was right. They're not really extorting you for credit cards. At least at that time, they weren't. They were just coming to do, we talked to the FBI. They said they do between 4 to 7 a week. And it's just about numbers for them.
But nowadays, I think we're seeing more ransomware attacks where it's kind of like a hunter that uses every part of the animal. They're exfiltrating data. They're selling it. They're using it. They're keeping things. They're giving you back data after they've already used it. Are you hearing about that out in the wild?
We are. Yeah, that's exactly. Even these guys, a lot of guys who you used to just do the encrypt and hold your data ransom have migrated into additional facets of that attack scheme. So they're holding your data. They're also selling your credit cards. They have any PII they have, they're selling that. So it's definitely evolving.
So Bo and Adam, you guys know I'm a bit of a privacy geek, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, totally. I really just don't like the idea that just about anyone can find you online, can find out where you live or your email address or your phone number or anything. I just think that entire idea is super creepy.
There's so much of my data already out there, but is there something that you can do?
Yeah, actually, you can use Delete Me. Delete Me is a service that pretty much does the heavy lifting for you, where they go to all the data brokers that they have on file and just pull your data and delete it on a regular basis.
I use it. I like it. And they make it quick, easy, and safe to remove your personal data online.
Well, yeah, with these data brokers, they can accumulate huge amounts of your personally identifiable information. And if all that information gets into the hands of a bad actor, that opens you up to a lot of risk.
And if you act now, you can get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/WTH and use promo code WTH. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/WTH and enter promo code WTH at checkout.
That's joindeleteme.com/WTH, promo code WTH, which stands for What the Hack. And we thank you for supporting Delete Me and What the Hack.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
No, we've even seen cases where they not only sell the data, but then they go to the people whose data it is when there's consumer data or employee data involved, and they say, "What's it worth to you now for us not to sell your data?" Even though they've already sold the data, they're going to the individual. There was the case of some plastic surgery practices where first they hit the practice. Then they went to the patients and said, how would you like your before and after pictures distributed on the web?
Oh, man.
So, yeah. So, I mean, there is, it's sort of like, have you no shame? They have no shame. It's, it's basically all about the money. And it's about how they can be as efficient as possible in extorting as much as possible as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's turning into the ransomware as a service has really blossomed into a fully formed multi-silo business that they're operating. And so it's, I mean, do you agree with that from what you're seeing, Dan?
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's what we heard too from the folks that we spoke with at the FBI and from CRA. It's all about a service now. Anybody with a little bit of technical knowledge can go out and do this extortive stuff with this service, especially if your targets are small. You know, if you're going after, you know, cosmetic surgery places, or you're going after, you know, the little mom and pop stores whose data is important. But, you know, you can go in there and hit those places pretty easily because they don't have a lot of defenses.
And they will pay. Most of them will pay.
They almost have to.
Yeah. So what's been the learning experience from this? And I know it was a painful experience, but, you know, how do you feel you've learned from this?
Great question. You know, if you don't learn something from this, I think you took an opportunity, you really missed an opportunity. For us, we take security a lot more seriously now. Not that we didn't before. You know, like I said, I came from some places where we had dedicated teams to do that. Being a smaller company, it's a little harder to dedicate an FTE around that. Subsequently, we've got a full-time person doing security. We actually have a couple of people doing security. We participate in a lot of roundtables and sharing of data. These type of calls for me are super important because I want to make sure everyone out there doesn't get caught in the same situation we were. Additionally, you know, we've taken a lot of steps afterwards, just as an organization. We put in a new XDR solution. We use MFA for everyone. We got around some of these things by not doing some of the, you know, we're trying to save a little bit of money by not doing all these things. That, you know, that is out the window. Now everything is, anything we can do to sort of decrease the threat surface, and we do. And as long as it's not exorbitantly expensive, but everything from data lakes to share data, we have a SOC that helps us identify threats and to address them as quickly as possible. We've expanded our incident response plan. So our incident response plan is no longer, you know, I built it when I first started here. I've been here for about 3.5 years. And it just didn't encompass everything that we saw happen to us in the malware event. So it's much more sophisticated now. We do a lot of tabletop exercises around how do we recover and what can we do in that space.
No, and that's very important because just as the sophistication of the hackers evolves and the sophistication of the malware evolves, so that, you know, each time somebody figures out a solution, they tweak it just one more way in order to evade anyone discovering them. The sophistication of the breach response plans have to also evolve because unfortunately every day is a new adventure. And a lot of companies, I think, have also learned that you could be totally secure at 9 a.m. and at 9:01, somebody clicks on the wrong link or somebody gets access to credentials that would allow them to get deeper and deeper into the company. That's all you need. And then you're there and it's a nightmare. And without question, the call that you received while you were in the Grand Canyon, it made you feel like you were falling into the Grand Canyon. Oh. And it's a terrifying call to receive. I know myself with the companies that I've been involved with over the years, the one thing nobody ever wanted to get was that phone call ever. And it usually came in the middle of the night.
Yeah, it's an awful feeling. I've been doing this for almost 30 years. And
I have a question for you, Dan. Are you conducting any kind of anti-phishing work at your company? Do you test your employees periodically and try to phish them and see if they fall for it?
We do. So we put that in after we got after we had our events. So we use a tool now and we fish them at least a couple times a quarter when they have to go through training when they start. And the people who continually get fished have to go through remedial training.
How is the fishing? Has it been pretty good? Catching
it's been pretty good. Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, you know, this is not the kind of fishing that you want to be good, but it's been pretty good.
Ah. No, often they say that, you know, someone will say, great news. I've got it to the point now where 93% of our people don't fall for it. The answer is all you need is one.
Yeah, we have to be right all the time. They just have to get lucky.
Yep. That's it. And that's the tough part for any defender is how can you be right all the time? No one, you know, other than my mother is right all the time. So therefore,
you know, we sort of feel that way. I mean, hopefully we don't have an attack at the gravity we had the last time, but I don't know that you can say that we're never going to get attacked again. And we've, like I said, we've done a lot of things to make that more difficult. But in reality, the right approach to this is, you know, is to keep them away as long as you can, restrict what happens when they get into your environment, and recover as quickly as possible. So we've taken a lot of steps in that space to make that happen. We use immutable backups now. We have a lot of things in place now to if and when they get into our environment. We've used a lot more segmentation. We have some east-west firewalls. We do a lot of things to prevent them from jumping around an organization, sort of like a submarine, where you can cordon off an area of the sub if you get hit by a torpedo. That part is, you know, that part's damaged, but the rest of it's still intact and you're still be able to move forward. That's sort of the approach we're taking right now.
Well, and you have to compartmentalize things, because the bottom line is breaches have become the third certainty in life behind death and taxes, unfortunately.
You're absolutely right. If I had one thing to say, I would just say, make sure that you're looking at your plan continually, making sure that you have the right story to the executives in your company or to your leadership to make sure that you get the right funding you need. And there's a good story to be told there. It's sort of like insurance. People never want to buy it until they have an accident. And then they were like, oh, I wish I had that. Mm-hmm. That's how security is. You know, it's the same adage we've heard a million times, but it's really important.
A study came out recently finding that 80% of ransomware victims have end up getting hit again. So it sounds like you're doing all the right things in terms of really just amping up your defenses against that.
Yeah, like I said, we're doing as much as we can to defend. But if something does happen, our plan is to have a really quick recovery response. So our recovery time objectives are pretty aggressive, because we do a lot of online business. So it's important to have those, our systems up and available. So we're doing our best to make sure we have that. But we've put a lot of things in that if something does happen, we can recover quickly.
Well, it sounds like you're doing a great job. And I fully understand exactly the nightmare that you went through. I have total empathy for what you went through. And I think everyone here would like to congratulate you on the work that you're doing and the effort that you put in. And more importantly, the fact that you're willing to share your story so that other people can not go through the nightmare that you had to go through.
Yeah. So, well, I appreciate you. This is a great vehicle. I love the idea of what you guys are doing. Get people so people understand what's going on out there, understanding the risk. Talking about it is as important as anything. Commend you guys on that as well.
First step is admitting you have a problem, right?
It is.
Yeah. Well, round of applause, man. Thank you so much for joining us. It really was eye-opening.
My pleasure.
Take care now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What the Hack is a Loudtree Media production in partnership with Large Media. That's LARJ Media. You can find What the Hack wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to follow us on social media and find more information at adamlevin.com.